Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by our special speaker, Pastor Noelani Jai. This message was recorded on July 17th, 2016, and is entitled, Can We Talk About the Holy Spirit Here?
Well, thank you, Hope Chapel, for being here. And as you heard, the Harmons are on family vacation. They actually have all their kids and grandkids even with them right now. So it's a real treat that that they're there all together. And they send their greetings and they miss us. I'm so glad you're here, though, this morning. If you don't have a bulletin yet, be sure to put your hand up. Our awesome ushers will get that into your hands. This is an unusual message for me in that I do prefer to stick to one section of the Bible when I preach, and I don't like to flip all over. And so I actually, the Lord put so many scriptures on my heart for you this morning that I'm going to put them on a PowerPoint. I don't know about you, but I'm a visual learner. So for this morning anyway, I'm going to use a PowerPoint. So you don't actually need your Bible or your Bible apps. So if you're into Pokemon, there's no excuse for you to be looking at your phone. Just kidding. Right now I heard we're a stop. But make sure you have your bulletin. All the scriptures that are up there are going to be in your bulletin as well. So may I just pray for us. Father, I thank you that you're here right now. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you did in first service. I thank you for the deposits you made on gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the gentleman that was received his tongue, Lord. And I pray for more of that and multiplication of that in this service, Lord God, that you would move mightily and powerfully in our midst, Lord. And I thank you that when we leave here, we will be changed. And that is by the power of your Holy Spirit only. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was wondering if we could talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. And sometimes I feel like we go like that. Can we talk about the Holy Spirit? Here, is it okay? I mean, this is a spirit-filled church, right? This is a Pentecostal church. We are the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel, or Foursquare for short. So we're a Pentecostal church. But if I'm honest, before coming to Hope Chapel, if I did word association with Pentecostal, like someone said, Pentecostal, I'd say, wacko, weirdo, a little cuckoo, a little off, long skirts, you know, that kind of stuff. I forget that, though, sometimes. But about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I sat up in bed in the middle of the night, and I was wide awake, and I heard or really felt heavy on my chest. God said to me, the next time you preach, I want you to tell them that being spirit-filled and speaking in tongues, yes, we're going to talk about tongues, that being spirit-filled and speaking in tongues is weird, but it's good weird. Weird, but it's good weird. So I reached for my phone because we use that for our alarm, and I, in a blurry-eyed, texted myself, tell church it's weird, but good weird. And I put it back, and I went back to sleep, so I wouldn't think I had been dreaming. Now, when I say weird, I don't mean hand-raising kind of weird. I mean, we have seen miracles in this church and in this church family. I've seen people hold out in faith for healings from life-threatening diseases. I have seen people set free from impossible situations. We even heard a story from this pulpit last year. Does anybody remember our former pastor, Gary Robinson, came and shared with us? He's going to be back for our anniversary this year that Lisa spoke of. And he talked about this one day when he was called by a family to go to the hospital and pray over a woman, and so he kind of dragged his feet and took him a while, but he got to the hospital, moved the sheet, prayed over her, put the sheet back, I guess, and went home. And after he got home, the family called him and said, what happened? And he said, what? You asked me to go pray over your mom. So I did. And they said, yeah, but 20 minutes before you prayed over her, she was pronounced dead by the doctor. So we have heard from this pulpit of people being raised from the dead. That's weird. But it's good weird. It's holy weird. You know, before coming to Hope Chapel, my exposure, our exposure to Pentecostal was really pretty limited. I grew up in the Missouri Synod Lutheran. All the German beer drinking Germans in Hawaii gathered in our church. So I grew up in a Lutheran church in Hawaii. And then when I went to college, I went to a non-denominational campus church. It was wonderful. And when Ed and I got married, we went to a Cumberland Presbyterian church. Anybody ever heard of Cumberland Presbyterian? It was a phenomenal church. But I'd never heard of a spirit-filled church up to that point. And then my grandmother, my popo, as we call them in Chinese, she got sick. And so all of us cousins and relatives, we flew to Hawaii to be with her and to say goodbye to her. And Ed and I actually had led her to the Lord maybe a year before that. So we knew where she was going. But I found out that 3 of the 10 of us cousins were walking with the Lord. And so it was so exciting to share stories with the other 2 cousins about their faith journeys. And at one point, one of my cousins asked me, "You have the Holy Spirit?" And I went, "What do you mean? Like, I just told you when I was 8 I got saved. I'm still walking with the Lord. Of course I have the Holy Spirit." And she just kind of looked at me, and I looked at her, and then she just dropped it. I guess it wasn't the time or place. But her question really stuck with me. If I'm honest, it was a little offensive to me. But she didn't pursue it any further in that moment. But I'm glad she asked that, because guess what? Her question is in my Bible. Acts 19:2. Paul came to Ephesus and found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Okay, so her question is in my Bible. Now, granted, those believers in Ephesus had not heard of the Holy Spirit, but I had. So again, her question was a little offensive to me. Now, our next exposure was we lived in married student housing at UC San Francisco, and we had these neighbors that we would sometimes get together and pray with. They were at a Pentecostal church. We were at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. But when we would pray with them, they'd make like these weird sounds. It almost sounded like babbling, not exactly like a human foreign language. And we would pray for like, I don't know, Ed, like sometimes 45 minutes to an hour. Never prayed that long in our lives. And it was loud. It was really loud and sometimes distracting, but so it was weird. But somehow we just felt good after we prayed with them. We didn't completely understand, but we felt really good when we prayed with this dear couple. Okay, so now fast forward about 15 years. I'm in seminary in Portland, Oregon. And my parents had both passed away and just right before that. And I had clinical depression. And so I was getting therapy. And the therapist was a Christian psychiatric nurse. And so half the time during our sessions, we would just pray. And we would let the Holy Spirit show her things or show me things, and it was wonderful. But about 8 months in to seeing her twice a month, Ed said, "I feel like the Lord is moving us to Southern California." So I went and told Nancy, and she said, "Oh no, I am not done with you yet. So I'm gonna need to baptize you in the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can keep being your counselor after you leave." And she kind of explained a little bit of what she meant by baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then she just started praying over me and praying in her tongue like that couple had, and just encouraging me to pray and make the same sounds or similar sounds as her. And I remember my eyes were closed, but I was definitely thinking in my head, "Am I really paying her for this?" I was so skeptical. $75 an hour for this weirdness. I just could not get out of my head. So not a sound came out of my mouth. And I thanked her very much and went home. And I don't even know if I told you, Ed, that day what she did, because I don't think I knew how to talk about it. But that night, in the middle of the night, the Lord got me up out of bed. And I had already been doing a lot of Christian worship hula. So I found my hands just, my eyes were closed and my hands were just moving. I was in another room. And then all of a sudden I started hearing sounds in my head. So So I just started speaking. I think I had three sounds, and I just said them over and over, and my hands were moving, and I was crying, and I don't know how long it lasted, but I knew when I was in that place, that was my sacred place where God confirmed, indeed, through that prayer of faith, even though I was skeptical, that he had baptized me in the Holy Spirit that day, and he gave me my prayer language when I was too sleepy to think about it. How's that? So I went to school the next morning. I think I had hermeneutics that day at 9 a.m., went to seminary, and I shared, because the professor said, anybody got any praise reports? So I was so excited. I shared what she did and then what God did in the middle of the night. And some of my classmates were awesome. They were like, woo, yeah, awesome. That's my favorite color, purple. So, on the other hand, I started noticing a few classmates that were looking at me more like that. All right, they were a little bit older, but their faces really did look like they thought I was speaking in another language or that I was kind of crazy. And in the meantime, I started looking up and realized my professor was giving me this look like, you really, really need to stop talking right now. That was the day I came to understand that not everybody in the world is thrilled about Holy Spirit baptism or knows or understands about it. Now, I had a mentor, Miss Helen Summers, an older lady. We were attending a Baptist church at the time, and so I would go visit her because she wasn't always able to come to church, and we would talk and pray in English. Well, I shared with her this experience, and she was so excited, but I shared with her about my classmates, and she tells me, oh, honey, we're Spirit-filled. We just don't tell everybody that we are. So she and her husband, Uncle Earl, they were Spirit-filled in this little Baptist church. I had no idea. I'd been meeting with her for almost a year at that point. Had no idea. So we prayed in the Spirit together. But even more than her affirmation, I wanted to know what Jesus had to say about it. I wanted at this point to know what God's Word said. So I started with, what book would you start with? Acts. And that's the scripture that the Lord told me to share with you today, is Acts 1. We just got to start with where the Holy Spirit first came upon believers. And sure enough, there it was, starting in verse 4 of Acts 1. So let's read this together. And gathering them together, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Wait. Did someone switch my Bible with a Pentecostal's Bible from down the street? I had literally never read that verse that way before. I had never noticed Jesus mentioning baptism of John and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And now he continues in verse 8, and let's read this together. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Do you realize right after that, Jesus went up to be with the Father? So these were actually his very last words. These verses are his very last words that he ever spoke on earth. So I kind of feel convicted that we should look at him and that we should listen to what he's saying. Now, and obviously they're important, so I want to go back just a little. Okay, so Jesus had died at this point when he said this. He had died about 42 days earlier on Good Friday, and then there's Holy Saturday, and then he rose from the grave on Resurrection Sunday, and he spent about 40 days appearing to people who would become his witnesses. 1 Corinthians describes over 500 people that he appeared to. And the verse right before this one, verse 3 of Acts 1, says that he spent the bulk of his time training his disciples and equipping and teaching them about the kingdom of God. And now is the time when this verse happens, that he's about to ascend to heaven, And here they are, still in Jerusalem, and he tells them, don't leave yet. I'm about to give you what the Father promised. You've been baptized with water, but now you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. And then he leaves. So Jesus is distinguishing between a baptism with water and a separate baptism of the Holy Spirit. And yet here I was in my third year of seminary, and I'd never been taught on this, let alone I never really even noticed this before. And that's where I really thank God, and you can thank God with me. His word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And you will, if you go to his word with that kind of Holy Spirit prayer for him to teach you something new, doesn't he come through every time? And you learn new things. You don't need anybody but the Holy Spirit sometimes to show you. So I noticed this for the first time, but thank God that I noticed it while I was still in seminary. So now my therapist said, okay, you've got to find a Foursquare church. I'd never heard of Foursquare. So we went on the internet. Does everybody remember that sound? What's that? Dial-up connection for internet. So while it's going, you go and you make your hot tea and you enjoy the newspaper for a while. It took a while, but we looked on the internet and found Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. And so we sent two spies. Did you know that? We sent two people here to check you guys out. And they had been to three churches. Two of them is because they were on a family vacation and they just wanted to check out these other churches. But this was the third one they came to. And they came back and reported to us that from almost the moment they walked in the door, and I've heard this time and again, it happened to us too, from almost the moment they walked in the door, they couldn't stop crying. And they came back to us and they said, the Holy Spirit is at that church. You need to go to the chapel. Huntington Beach. So we moved here on Friday, August 6th of 2004, and we came to church on Sunday, August 8th. We never had to search for a church. God did it for us. So thank God for dial-up internet, too, and Christian therapists that are spirit-filled. And that's how we came here. And it was here that we really started to understand these scriptures through Pastor Paul's teaching, through our mini churches. And it's here that Ed got baptized in the Spirit, too. And I remember me of little faith, I told him, because it was one of those Holy Spirit services where you come forward, and it was at night, I think, and don't worry, honey, you will be baptized in the Spirit tonight, but you might not get your prayer language, and that's okay. And of course, Ed got his prayer language on the spot that night at the altar. But this is where, once we got Spirit-filled, those scriptures just really started to come alive for us. Probably the best way I've heard the distinction between being saved and being Spirit-filled described is by Foursquare's former president, Pastor Jack Hayford. He wrote a book called Grounds for Living, and this is how he described it. Read it with me. I not only want the person of Jesus, but I also want the power of Jesus. Let's say that again. I not only want the person of Jesus, but I want power of Jesus. So when we get saved, we receive the person of Jesus. He comes and takes up residence, and Galatians says it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But then when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we get not just his person, but his power. And now Jesus isn't just in us, but he gets to flow through us into others' lives and be multiplied through us. How? He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Now, the good news is that what Jesus promised his disciples would happen to them is a promise for us today, that he will fill us with the Holy Spirit as well. And he came through for his disciples big time. If you continue on in Acts chapter 2, you'll read how the Holy Spirit fell. They spoke in tongues. People thought they were drunk. Peter gave a great sermon. 3,000 people got saved. Amazing stuff that happened on the first day that the Holy Spirit fell. But it wasn't just for them. It's for us too. And that second reason, there's really a second reason that the Holy Spirit would fall. It's not just for us to have that power, but it's for us to use that power. And what does Jesus say here? What's the reason he's giving this power to us? to be his witness, in order to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. In other words, he wants his good news to go everywhere. But even if you have a lot of airplane miles, you can't go everywhere. But the power of the Holy Spirit can take his good news, his word, out and forth to the remotest parts of the earth. So I want to give you a couple of examples of how he's done that. And one of them involves a very dear friend of Hope Chapel who passed away last year, the late Dr. Elias Malky. Now, he was a friend to the Harmons and therefore became a friend to Hope Chapel, and our church family supported him for years. His book, Ambassador of a Higher Power, has anyone read it? Raise your hand. Okay, so you understand why I would even recommend this book. It's like reading a modern-day book of Acts. His ministry is called MEGO, Middle East Gospel Outreach. Now, you would think he was just ministering in the Middle East, right? And he was. He was definitely ministering in the Middle East. But at some point, he and his family had to leave Lebanon because his life was in danger. So they were self-exiled. And he moved to Upland, California. How can you take the gospel to the remotest parts of the earth from Upland, California? No offense if anybody is from Upland here. But how do you take it from Southern California to the Middle East? Well, he had a radio and eventually a television show to Northern Africa and to the Middle East that reached Muslims in those areas. And I just want to read this one letter that he talks about. And this is not atypical of his ministry, the kind of thing that would happen. So he heard from a woman named Hayam. And she said, I am here as a regular viewer. The program was called the Good News Program. It has made a life-changing difference in my family. Last year, my daughter was diagnosed with cancer. The doctors said there was not much they could do but try to make her as comfortable as possible. We were so sad because we were going to lose her. She also had small children who would not have a mother. We were devastated. One night, as I was watching you on Good News, you started praying for the sick. I prayed with you and mentioned my daughter-in-law's name. Suddenly you said, there is an older woman who is watching me and praying with me. You are praying for your daughter-in-law who has cancer. I am telling you now that God has heard your prayer and she is healed. Now take her to the doctor and have her checked out. How many of you remember Dr. Malky when he's here telling you that if you were healed? Like, go get checked out. She writes, it took me a week to get an appointment and new tests to be done. We waited for a day, and then the doctor called. He told us that he did not know what had happened, but that the cancer was gone. She was completely healed. It was a miracle. The whole town knew what happened. She's now in perfect health and cancer-free. This has been a great testimony to all we know of the power of Jesus Christ. My son and his wife now serve him. Thank you for bringing your program to us. And this kind of story would happen over and over. And as healings happened in these Muslim homes through the television or through the radio, then they would write to Dr. Malky and say, please send me Bibles. I can't get a Bible here in my country. And he would send Bibles, and whole families and even villages have been saved through the ministry of Dr. Elias Malky. So that's how God uses the Holy Spirit and people to get the word, the good news, the remote places of the earth. Now, there's another book that my son suggested I read this year, and I just finished it, could not put it down. I'd never heard of Brother Yun from China. He wrote a book called The Heavenly Man. I recommend you read this book. I wrote the reference in your bulletin too, but you need like a day or a day and a half when you're kind of free, because you aren't going to want to put it down. The back of the book says you'll start the book on the couch, you'll end it on your knees. It's so powerful. Brother Yun was saved at the age of 16. God healed his father of cancer right in front of him. And within that first year at age 16, he started listening to the Holy Spirit, and he would go from village to village, and he would share what little he knew. He didn't even have a Bible when he started sharing. And people would get saved. 3,000 people were saved when he was 16 years old, and it continued and continued. He's one of the main founders of the house church movement in China, and phenomenal stories. This is the book here, but there's one in particular. I don't think I'm giving it away because there's actually a picture and describing it in here, and I don't know about you, but when I read books, I like to look at the pictures first. But there's a story of how God got him out of the maximum security prison in China called Zhengzhou Prison, and there were 6 points at which he could have been stopped by either locked doors and guards with guns. And the other thing is, he had tried to escape earlier, so by jumping out of a window, so the guards broke his legs. So for the time that he was in Zhengzhou prison, he had broken legs, and he had to be carried by another pastor prisoner. And again, they're in prison for what? Just talking about Jesus, right? And so another pastor prisoner would carry him, but God got him out. And I want to read to you, Brother Xu is the name of the pastor that wrote this testimony. The guards beat Brother Yun's legs severely so he could no longer walk. I was given the job of carrying Yun to the bathroom and the prison interrogation room because he was crippled and in terrible pain every day. One morning, the Lord showed Yun that it was time to escape. As he walked, down the prison stairs towards the courtyard, another Christian brother was coming in. The security door was opened for him at exactly the same time Yun walked out. That brother ran to our cell and told everyone he had seen Yun walking out of prison. So we prisoners climbed up and looked out of the cell window into the courtyard. We watched as Yun walked right out the gates of the prison to freedom. And, you know, the Chinese officials, government officials, did a investigation after that to figure out, surely he'd been helped by guards or by fellow prisoners. They determined that no human helped Brother Yun escape from prison. We know who did. And to this day, he's the only person who has ever escaped from that prison. Now, this book has story after story like that. I can't recommend it strongly enough. Dr. Malky's testimony, Brother Yun's story, makes me want to listen to the Holy Spirit the way that they did, so specifically, getting their instructions about when to go, where to go, who to talk to. But are Dr. Malky and Brother Yun, are they in some kind of super class of Christians that God can use to take the gospel to the remotest parts of the earth? Absolutely not. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, he begins to give you gifts. He gives everyone different gifts, except for one that we're going to talk about in a moment. That's for all of us. But he gives gifts to people. And if you look at this list, for example, here's just word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy. Definitely those first six, right, were in operation in Dr. Malky's life and are still in operation. Brother Yun, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, helping, administration, ministry, service, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy, apostleship, evangelism. Even this morning, we saw a gift of the Spirit in operation. That song, I think he's in here still. He was first service, but Sean McPhee, the Lord spoke and gave Sean that beautiful worship song and those beautiful words. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit that came through our brother Sean, our worship leader today. There are so many, probably up to 25 in our Bibles, that are gifts of the Spirit. But for your convenience, I could teach on this for probably half a year. I've put the list that you see up there, I've put it in the mini church question section of your bulletin. So I want to encourage you, whether your mini church is meeting or not, this summer, whether you're in one or not yet, to really look at that list. Those gifts are there for you to ask the Lord, which ones do you want to give me? And for you to be able to use them to take the gospel across the street and around the world. But I want to move. I want to spend the rest of our minutes here just focusing more on one of them. I was wondering if you would mind if we could talk about tongues here this morning. Okay, it's another one of those topics that we're afraid to talk about. But again, I think that's why God got me up. It's weird, right? Tongues are weird, but they're what? Good weird. Because they're holy. They're from the Holy Spirit. So they're holy weird. How's that? They're good. Tongues. So when I'm trying to figure out if something should change my life or should alter my thinking or my actions going forward, I have two grids that I like to run things through. So the first one is I just ask God, is it in your word? And then I ask him to show you. Show me. So is there tongues in God's word? Let's see. Acts 10. I didn't have to go a whole lot further. Let's read this one together. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard his message. All the circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. That's us. For they heard them speaking in tongues and exalting God. And here's another one from Ephesus. This one happened in Ephesus in Acts 19. Hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in what? Tongues and prophesied. Okay, so question number one for my grid is answered. It is in our Bibles. Well, what does it mean to speak in tongues? It's not going to sound like your known human language. If it's English, if it's Chinese, if it's Filipino, it's not going to sound like the language, your first language. It may sound like another language in another part of the world. I've heard stories where people are on the mission field and they're in a believer's gathering, so everyone's praying in the spirit and praying in tongues, and someone will tap them on the shoulder and say, do you know what you're saying? And of course they don't, because they're praying in tongues. And turns out they're saying something like, Jesus is Lord, or holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, because they're praying the language of the people in that tribe or in that part of the country, and they didn't even know it. So sometimes it will be a human language, but sometimes it will be a tongue of angels, as Corinthians calls it. And so it may not sound like a human language. It might just sound like babble or like an angelic language. Now, the second grid that I like to write, so the first grid is it in my Bible? Okay, we know tongues is in the Bible. The second grid I like to run these things through is to ask myself, is this a why question or is this a why not question? Oh, so a why question would be like, why does God want me to have a prayer language? My problem is that I get stuck there. I keep searching the scriptures and I keep asking God why. And sometimes I think I just need to move on to the why not question. Why not ask God for something that would help me pray differently, help me pray better, help me pray beyond my own understanding? You know, I tend to overthink things. So if you're anything like me, your free advice to take away this morning is ask why not before you ask why. Because if you ask why not, you're more likely to actually do something and make a change in your life. So why not speak out that strange sound that you're hearing in your voice? Maybe, just maybe, it's a deposit on your prayer language. Why not use that prayer language that you've kept on a shelf all these years? Why not, as Pastor Paul would say, turn the faucet back on and get it going again? Why not ask God for something that will help you pray beyond what you're able to pray in English? Now, there's so many teachings, and this, again, is why I wanted to put this on the screen for you. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, for example, there's my why not question. It talks about how we should earnestly desire spiritual gifts, and that when we speak in a tongue, we do not speak to humans, right? But we speak to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries in the spirit. So you're actually praying things that you don't even realize that you're praying. And the scripture is saying that those groans are understood. If you look at Romans 8 for a moment, 26 and 27, when we don't know what to pray, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words, and he who searches our hearts, that's God, knows the mind of his Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That last line, the will of God, do you realize then when you're praying in tongues, you are actually praying the will of God? If you were to pray in English, I don't know about you, but when I pray in English, I don't know if I'm praying for the will of God, the perfect will of God. I don't think I necessarily am, but if I pray in my tongue for you, then I know I'm praying the perfect will of God, it says in Romans, for you. And at this point, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're so frustrated that you can't get back to sleep, and why am I awake? It's only 3:30 in the morning or midnight and I just fell asleep. Instead of getting mad that you're up this week, try praying in the Spirit if you have a language. If you don't, try asking him for your language in the middle of the night. You could be praying for Brother Yun and the fellow, well, he's in exile, but for Chinese Christians in mainland China who are in prison, or you could be praying for a Muslim Christian in a Muslim country and you have no idea, or you could be praying for somebody in this room and you could be praying for kids at camp and you have no idea that the Holy Spirit is dealing with them on something and you're joining in praying for them. You don't know it. We'll know when we get to heaven. I kind of think at that point God will show us this is who you were praying for that night and they're alive. They were able to continue ministering because of your prayers. So you just never know who you're praying for. Why not? Why not? Even today, ask God to give you that baptism of the Holy Spirit if you haven't gotten it yet, or that special prayer language, that tongue, if you haven't received that yet. Or why not use it if you haven't used it in a while? So you got my grids. Is it in the Bible? And why not? Now, are you going to learn this at a church down the street or across the street? Not necessarily. Are they still going to heaven? Are we still going to heaven? Absolutely. We agree that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for our sins. He rose again, and he's coming back to get us. The biggies, right? But we also in Foursquare teach, and we believe and practice here, that he is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, just like we see in the scriptures, he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And in case you think you're too old for this, or in case you think you're too young for this, or your kids are too young for this, I am going to invite my friend Hannah Sato up here, as well as, could I have the worship team back as well? We're going to read one more scripture together before I talk to Hannah. These are troubled times we're living in. Would you all agree? Pretty much every day or other day, something happens and we're crying out, God, mercy, have mercy. But Jesus actually said that these things were going to happen, right? He said the world was going to be groaning like a woman in childbirth, and it would get closer and closer together. And we should expect these things. But he also promised us through the prophet Joel, in Joel chapter 2, that he was going to give us something in these last days. Let's read this promise together. It will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. That's for us in the last days. So when we see these things, or when we hear these things talked about in church, this is what Jesus said was going to happen. This is what the Lord said through Joel hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus even came was going to happen. One of the best and closest to my heart examples of a young person who has had the Holy Spirit poured out on her is my friend Hannah. So a couple of years ago, Pastor Michael did a Holy Spirit month upstairs, and Hannah came up to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But about 6 months ago, She started coming in to see me because she had not yet received her prayer language, her tongue. And so she wanted to receive her tongue. So we started meeting and pressing in and studying the scriptures. And Hannah, I want to ask you first, though, why did you even want to be baptized in the Spirit?
God had something for me to do important. And so I wanted the Holy Spirit to kind of assist me and help me speak for God.
And then when you started coming in about 6 months ago, it took a couple weeks, but the Lord gave you your prayer language, right? So why did you want so much to have this prayer language?
Since sometimes I don't have, when I want to pray for somebody, I don't know what to pray for because I might not know what to pray for them. And I just pray in the Holy Spirit, or in other words, tongues, because I don't understand it, but I'm praying for them, and God knows.
Now, since you've started praying in the Spirit, how has life gone for you?
Pretty good. Now I see little miracles here and there. I start to have visions and things like that.
And Hannah had started recently asking the Lord to give her even more of the gifts on the list. And so you just mentioned visions. What's an example of a vision that you have seen? What was that like?
So for example, I was praising God and I had my eyes closed. I was praying. And then all of a sudden, I felt like I was opening my eyes, but they were still closed. Everything was white. I could see the outlines of things. And including people, one person was a different color.
And what did that mean to you? What did the Lord press on your heart for that person?
I thought that would mean something like he would do something good for God, or he's different from somebody else.
He's special for the Lord. And indeed he is. And I was actually able to share with his mom. I didn't even tell you that. But I was able to share with his mom last service that it was him that you saw in your vision that was a different color. So that really encouraged her. So Hannah, since being spirit-filled and having this prayer language, how has it helped you serve the Lord better?
I've been telling friends about Jesus, and I've been meeting up with them, and I have like 5 to 6 people that I'm doing.
Most of them are at school.
One of them is from another church, and she is asking for the Holy Spirit right now.
Praise God. So, dear friends, I feel convicted when Hannah came to press in for a prayer language. I felt really convicted that I needed to use mine more and that I needed to move in the power of the Holy Spirit more, because I learned from Hannah that okay to ask God to give you gifts, and it's good to use those gifts because she loves her friends so much. She wants so much to go beyond her own ability, and she has many, many abilities, but she wants to go beyond her ability in order to reach them for God and for Jesus. So, Hannah, thank you for sharing today and being brave in the Holy Spirit. So, thank you. Well, we are going to sing right now, and then I'm going to invite those who've been asked to be at the altar to pray with people to also come up during this song. At any point, we're going to have people on this side who will pray for you for any prayer needs that you have on this side of the sanctuary. On this side, if you're feeling God spoke to you, your chest, like Lisa said, is beating in your heart, that you need to get refilled with the Holy Spirit, you need to be filled, you need your prayer language, and you want to ask someone to pray with you, the warriors on this side will be praying for you praying in the spirit for you in that way. So let's sing together and then I'll be back. But let me pray over the rest of us, and you're free to go at any point, but this is really our sacred time. We, from the beginning of this day until now, have been asking the Holy Spirit to just show up big time, and boy, has he. And so, Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for your last words to us. You didn't just say goodbye, but you said, wait here, I've even got one more gift. And then you gave us your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for not leaving us alone. Thank you for finishing the good work you've begun by the power of your Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. And I want to pray for my friends right now, wherever they are at with you spiritually, Lord God. You are tugging on their hearts. I know you are. And I ask you, God, take them into a deeper place in their walk with you, wherever that might be. Lord God, thank you that in these last days, you are pouring out your Spirit on all humans, young and old. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. You haven't left us alone. And I ask you, Lord God, that you would show us more of you, more of your instructions this week. I pray this would be a week that we look back and we say, man, I have never heard God speak so clearly. Go left or go right or don't do that or get on your knees this morning and pray for something. Or you've never prayed as much in your tongue before as this week. Make it that kind of week, Lord God, for my friends. I thank you and I bless you, friends. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.